All right, welcome back to the Black Techies Podcast, where black culture meets the world of technology. I'm David, a.k.a. Just Processing. Follow me on Twitter at JustProcessYT. Look, you can see the title. You know why we're here. You know what happened. All right, so I got Roberto. I got Herb. I got Dominique. We gonna break this thing down because I'm ready. My body is ready. My bank account is ready, but like my wife is probably over there. So it's tentatively ready.
It's ready with some strings.
Exactly.
No comment.
Hashtag married life. But
between now and then, she's like, babe, I want to redo the bathroom. You'd be like,
okay,
dude.
All right. Gotcha. Absolutely. Yeah. She's trying to buy some stuff for our sitting room. So I want to make sure she, you know, gets to indulge in that. But besides, I mean, I got a gaming PC.
She sits there right while you play PlayStation.
Yeah.
Basically. Because she darn sure ain't going to play with me, unfortunately. But, all right. But all right. So a lot happened in this stream. But so I guess to somewhat keep it orderly, we'll talk about the actual device later, but I want to focus on the games right now since that was what most of the presentation was about. So I'll just kind of go around just to kind of, you know, see take everyone's pulse as to how they felt about it. Like, you know, just talk about, you know, what were your favorite games, or, you know, what kind of games you were looking forward to playing if you're going to even, you know, buy a PS5. I'll go ahead and start. I guess for me, three that I was looking forward to are Horizon Zero Dawn 2, Forbidden West, I think that's what it was. Yeah. Spider-Man Miles Morales, come on now. I played the heck out of Spider-Man game. Right. Yeah. I'm not going to talk about it too much because I know Roberto I know he's ready. He's gunning for it.
He doing backflips on the camera, bro.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And, Deathloop. There we go.
Yeah.
Deathloop. So yeah, I saw Deathloop last year at EG A3 2019, and I like the fact that it stars, you know, two black protagonists, a man and a woman. So I think it'd be kind of interesting to see what this game is about. Like, what I think she's hunting him, or I'm not really sure how.
I think they're hunting each other.
She's hunting him while he's trying to escape.
Right.
Right, but like he can like come back or something like that, and like keep killing him. But he, I don't know. It's like a what's that name of that movie? Edge of Tomorrow.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
That too.
Or Russian Doll.
Any number of movies.
Any number of movies where you're in a death loop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Go ahead.
I'll go to you. Really good. I was just saying that side note, if you guys are looking for something to watch, Russian Doll on Netflix wasn't really good, so it's type old right now. But anyway, I'll be quick because I'm not a PlayStation guy. These other dudes are. I say that like y'all can see the Skype orientation, or like I know where I'm going to end up. But
this dude,
right? Like that guy, they're PlayStation guys. I'm not. I'm a devout Xbox. I'm a fanboy. But I am excited about Horizon. I'm excited about the backwards compatibility because I'm going to get a PS5 and then immediately go back and play God of War. The Last of Us, I'm going to finish it because that's the first game in 10 years probably that elicited an emotional response for me within 5 minutes of playing it. I literally, there was a thug tear. It was
man
like
tears.
You see that? Ah. It was one of them. Yeah, it was like, yeah, one of them Native American joints, right? Just like, I'm keep playing through it. Like, I'm going to go back and play that. Horizon Zero Dawn and the Spider-Man game. But Miles Morales, I know he's going to talk about it. I'm going to let him have it. But I cannot wait for that game. One thing I will say is I was really impressed with the diversity of protagonists. I saw women action leads, which it doesn't happen ever, but they weren't even heavy-handed with it this time. They weren't like Deathloop, they weren't like starring two black people. They was just like, yeah, this is a game.
Yeah,
they're
yeah,
pretty much. So happens that the people in this game are black, and I know some of you little race, little sons of sons, are going to have an issue with this, and you're gonna talk about it in forums, and 4chan gonna be popping, and it's gonna be banned, Deathloop, all that.
Oh yeah,
but I like
they'll be all right.
You already know.
Yeah, they'll be all right. Suck it up.
We're just casually introducing. I don't know if y'all remember the game. I can't even remember the name of the game now. Dude had a lot of like black alien stuff around it, but it was an Asian protagonist. Like, we're just casually introducing where it's just going to be normal. Little white kids are going to grow up having played a game called Mafia 3 with a black dude was the lead. You know what I'm saying? Where I grew up playing the first Mafia like 12, 13 years
ago. Prototype was the game?
No, I'm thinking of, I can't think, no, Prototype was a black dude, wasn't it? The Asian dude, it was an Asian yeah. dude, he was on a space station, and it was like a horror action, and, you know, he's just trying to, he's like, kind of open world. No, I'm going to figure it out.
No, Dead Space, because I didn't see his face. Yeah.
Yeah, right. But anyway, yeah, it's just cool to see. That's what I'm happy to see. I'm happy to see that the game industry is moving away from the very bro-ish, hopefully, moving away from the very bro-ish, because I haven't cut on party chat or game chat on a game in 20 years. So I'm hoping that that we can get to a point where it's just normal to hear black people in video games and I don't have to keep being called the N-word by tiny white children.
Yeah, for real.
That's it for me.
That's not going to change.
Well, I think that, yeah, I mean, honestly, I have to kind of take a step back a bit and analyze what I saw. There are a couple of AAA titles that really caught my eye. You know, I think the Horizon sequel was one. Miles Morales, of course, was two. You know, NBA 2K, you know, 2K21 looked awesome, even though we ain't seen no gameplay. We just saw Zion Williams, you know, non-benefits accepting and all that. But I think the gist of what I got from what I saw was a lot of tease here. I mean, it was like 80% tease, and then you had maybe, you know, you had glimpses of a couple of AAA titles that are going to be flagships on the platform. With the, you know, with the meat and potatoes being the reveal of the hardware. And I think, for me, you know, I mean, if you play PlayStation Plus, you know, most of that stuff, about 85% to 90% of that stuff was filler for PlayStation Plus, in my opinion. I mean, Ratchet and Clank, it was good to see that come back.
Yeah, about Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah, you know.
Yo, is that a shooter? I don't get what that game is. I don't get what it's trying to be.
It's a little Ratchet. Bit of a I mean, it's like a well, Ratchet and Clank started out.
How dare you, young man?
Yeah, that's
Xbox.
Yeah, see that. Yeah, there you go.
Holla at me about what was our game? We didn't really have no game like that. Our game was
yeah. I mean, Pragmata yeah, looked like a really, really, really good game. Really interesting concept. I mean, outside of that, I was like, okay. Well, I mean, they're saving some other things for a little bit later on. Now, I will say that once they did the hardware reveal, there was some really, really cool stuff. I mean, the controls look like professional gamer level controls. You know, you've got adaptive triggering for folks that play first person shooters. That's really high end stuff to have adaptive triggering. I think aesthetically, I mean, I would have to. I wasn't really blown away by it aesthetically, but the peripherals and stuff, particularly if PlayStation has the novel notion of including some of those peripherals, you know, the closer to the release date, that'll make a big difference. We know there's a digital version of the PlayStation, which there wasn't before, so they're taking a cue from Xbox on that accord. So
I like that, taking a cue. I like the way you said that.
Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, besides the fact that Xbox started doing it first. but
I feel like there's some shade there. I mean, yeah.
You know, Elvis took a cue from black artists and did rock and roll. He took a cue from Little Richard.
It's gonna rain clouds. Yeah, shade.
But, side note: the name of the game I was talking about was Prey. I don't want to forget that I was gonna say that. Prey. Oh. Was the name.
I did play that. That was good.
But I mean, I thought it was what I expected. It was what I expected from PlayStation, this far out from, you know, from the consoles hitting the market later on this year. You know, they tend to play very coy in terms of how they do reveals in comparison to everybody else. This didn't surprise me one bit, particularly the way they were doing a lot of the hints and pieces throughout the whole presentation about the hardware. I think Dave pointed out while we were watching it, I think Dave, you know, noticed that there was a glimpse of one of the transition screens or one of the interface screens that activated system was going to be looking like. So, I mean, they did typical PlayStation Sony stuff, and I'm not surprised by that. You know, what I can tell is that just from seeing what we've seen in terms of the quality of the games, the quality of the visuals, particularly on Miles Morales, NBA 2K21, that's some pretty powerful architecture, pretty powerful hardware that PlayStation is going to be pumping out. So in my opinion, PlayStation and Xbox are going to be kind of comparable in that regard. You know, now, depending on what side of the fence you land on, whether you're a Hatfield or McCoy, you're going to say, oh, God, well, Xbox has got this in the bag. PlayStation's got this in the bag. If you're a gamer, you know, this is a really, really fun and exciting time because you've got two heavyweights going neck and neck. And the fact that they're keeping their gaming audience, you know, in mind by giving the most powerful specs that they can possibly give is good stuff.
So let me ask you all. So you all watched the Xbox game, like, you know, game conference thingy a few weeks ago, right? Or last month or something like that. Like, how does this compare to that? Now, granted, that was like all third party stuff. It wasn't any first party stuff. I think that's next month. But do you all think that, you know, Sony had a better showing of games than Microsoft did?
A bit had a bigger showing anyway.
Yeah. I think that's hard to say when you're doing third party games because right. Like there are very few, and I won't there are very few, and again, this is somebody who's always had both. I think this was the first time, which I'm probably going to go buy an Xbox One sometime over the summertime. Or I might wait for the other one. If it's backwards compatible, then I'll just buy that one instead. But I've always had both, and I've always loved both. And I feel like the only thing that I will always give Sony the nod for, to me, is they have always made better action-adventure games. And that's, like, my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Like, does PlayStation have a better version of Halo or a better version of Gears? Absolutely not. Does Xbox have a better version of Uncharted or God of War or Horizon? No.
No.
And I don't think either console has made a better version of Nintendo Zelda.
They don't even have
a good. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like you gotta know what your strengths are. And I feel like with Sony's strength has always been like real quirky stuff. And we saw a lot of quirky stuff today that I was watching the live stream with a couple of my friends that are very, I mean, a lot of them are Xbox guys, and some of them are just like, I don't care. Show me where Uncharted and Call of Duty is, and then I'll just, like, that's all I care about.
Yeah.
So, you know, seeing stuff that wasn't what you expect. Again, you're expecting when Sony starts with the Spider-Man Miles Morales, you're expecting them to keep riding that wave. And then they switch, and there's like, here's Sackboy. And you're like, no. No, what are you doing? No, go back. Yeah. Like, you know, and then, of course, Grand Theft Auto 5, the greatest selling game of all time. Like, cool. I had that on PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4. Do I need it again on PlayStation 5? Like, is that something that I need? Like, I don't know, but I'll play it. Well, I'll probably still, I mean, if it's free, I'm definitely going to play it.
Well, so. I'll say this, man. The glimpse of gameplay that I saw for Gran Turismo 7 was, you know, if you're racing or a car enthusiast, and you see that cockpit view that they had, you know, during Formula One or, Formula One track. Mm-hmm. That was ridiculous. That was ridiculously, you know, good. And I think one of the things that, you know, we have to kind of keep in mind is that, you know, first run, you know, the non-third party games that everybody knows is going to be, you know, multiple platforms like Call of Duty, Madden, all of the major franchises that normally have games, you know, to me, those things are kind of a wash because of cross-platform connectivity now, and because you can play them, you don't even have to have a console, play them and play against other people. Now, what I'm really interested in seeing as we get closer to the release dates for both platforms, you know, I'm interested in seeing if there are going to be any other first-person shooters or space games or fighting games, because I know there was rumors been kind of going around about Tekken 8, you know, newest version of Tekken. Some other fighting games have been hinted at being in a loop. You know, people are talking about, and I don't know how true this is, but King of Fighters making a really big jump from PlayStation platform and a new generation of King of Fighters being done. There's a lot to speculate about between now and, you know, the holiday season when this is going to be released, and especially, you know, these days where the premium has been put on having means of diversion, you know, to kind of, you know, compensate for the fact that, yeah, we stuck inside, we can't go nowhere. Basically. I gotta play. And I think these guys, Sony in particular, has a real penchant for, you know, seizing upon those types of trends. And the one thing that I got from this presentation is that they didn't give a lot away, even with the reveal with the platform.
Nope.
You know, you got the platform. You still don't know much about the specs. There's still speculation about that. You do know that there are two versions. There's going to be a digital version where there's no drive. And there's going to be a regular version. We don't know the price point. We don't know none of that stuff. And they're very strategic in that way of being able to gradually introduce those things the closer you get to, you know, the release and hit in, you know, those devices hitting the market. So, I mean, it's going to be a pretty wild ride. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this plays out.
I'm kind of interested. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I was about to say, I was like, wait a minute. We didn't, like, we hit on, like, just a handful of those games. And now, I mean, like, the big games anyway. And, you know, of course, we'll post these things on the collective. But, like, Project Atha or whatever it was that Square Enix made.
Oh, yeah, crazy.
That looked crazy.
I don't know about the Annapurna game, the Stray with the little cat and the Society of Robots and all the humans are dead.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling that.
But again, that's PlayStation's thing. Like, you know, I saw Journey, and I was like, that looks stupid. And then, like, 5 hours into it, you're like, dang, this is really a good game. Like, I really enjoy playing this. And I think that's kind of where Sony, like, even with, I mean, I think at this point, the Sackboy stuff might not resonate with us like it did when PlayStation 3 was around, and the camera and the PlayStation Move and all that stuff kind of was like everybody wanted extra peripherals to do stuff.
Yeah.
Ratchet and Clank, of course, is back. That's crazy, where they're like rifting through time and or through dimensions and stuff. Well, there was a good amount that I honestly could not tell you what the name of the game was. I think the Returnal. Returnal.
The lady had a recurring Deathloop. It's the same thing as Deathloop in a way. Like, she keeps reliving the same thing.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So, but you know, you have to wonder, like, how does that play into the game mechanic of you? Do you, I mean, because if it's the solid state drive and it's that powerful machine, when you die, do you have to sit through a load screen or do you go right back to where you died? And it's like Prince of Persia Stands of Time where you could just rewind stuff, you know, like, because again, if I got through all this stuff and now I have to go do all this platforming and all this other backtracking and all this other stuff, and I have to wait for a load screen, I might throw that DualSense controller into a wall or something if I have to sit through that constant loop. But I mean, I feel like now with the hardware, you can actually change your software. Right. Because if there is no loading time and I can switch between characters in Grand Theft Auto with no loading time, I can go to different towns with no loading time. Like, that opens up what you want to do with the game a little bit more. I mean, even if you are playing as a cat or what was it? The Destruction Derby meets Fortnite.
Destruction All-Stars?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I'm going through
the new artwork. I don't know what the hell that Goodbye Volcano High game was that was cartoon and all the kids were dinosaurs or something.
That was kind of over my head.
Yeah, I'll catch it for free on PS Plus or something.
But I think there was one other thing that kind of came to mind as I was watching this and watching the detail and how powerful some of these games seem. And that was, you know, the previous generation's, you know, foray into VR, so virtual reality or augmented reality. And I got to thinking, it's like, okay, wow. Okay, when they did the hardware reveal, you didn't see any extra hardware for that. So, I mean, it really leaves an open-ended question as to how many games are going to port over that were VR specific or VR ready. Will this next generation of PlayStation have more resources to dedicate to that? Because, I mean, there were some pretty hefty VR titles that were on the PlayStation
4. Ghostwire Tokyo would be good.
Ghostwire Tokyo, that's the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah,
That would be a very good game for VR.
Yeah.
But you noticed one of the accessories was the new PlayStation camera. And right. I believe that's used in PSVR, right?
Right.
I think they want to wait to do a grand reveal of like the new PSVR.
Yeah. And I mean, just as a first person shooter guy, I could see a lot of applications for that. I can see a lot of augmentation of titles that are already there. You know, whether it's, I mean, I know this is kind of cliche and the first thing that everybody thinks about when you think about first person shooters, but Call of Duty series, you know, the modern version of Modern Warfare Call of Duty Warzone that's out right now. Just imagine being able to put that into a VR space, you know, and just slipping on a visor or going on a camera, maybe having a peripheral. And I know that's been kind of done in the past where you had a peripheral, you know, for a camera, you know, with a gun or a shooting peripheral, but that might be down the pipe. You never know. Or you can just have a visor and have some triggers, like, you know, Oculus style, and go for what you know. And I think there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of open-endedness that this presentation left, you know, people that are looking for specific things out of PlayStation, which is really cool.
That actually reminds me. So Resident Evil 8, Village.
Yeah.
We didn't even cover like half the games.
So many. I mean, I figured we weren't going to get through all of them. I wasn't really planning on getting through all of them, but like just the major ones, or at least the ones that you liked.
The ones that anybody cared about.
Right, the ones that caught our attention.
No one cares about NBA 2K. I'm just kidding. But
the NCAA cares about it because your boy has some gifts.
Right. Look, every year, the sweat physics, every generation of consoles. Because I remember PS4 launched and they had LeBron and he was extra sweaty. And you're like, that's a lot of sweat physics. Like, are we coding for sweat? Is that what you got? Like, that's the increase. Like, not, well, I don't know. Coding too. Yeah, because I haven't played since 2K19, so I was like, I couldn't even tell you if the AI hasn't.
Year. I buy it every year. I'm gonna buy see, this one too. It's just like,
If they got Zion Williams's if they got old dudes walk down, it's a win. Because if you've ever seen Zion Williams in play or walk around on a normal basis, that dude has probably got the most unique mannerisms of any NBA basketball player I've ever seen. I mean, it's funny. It's hilarious, but
has increased.
Yeah. Folks that follow that action, on a really close basis will identify with. But I think one of the other things that was left open-ended, with that being the only sports game being offered, or being shown rather. I mean, you got other EA stuff that's coming down the pipeline on the platform. 2K1's not EA, my bad, 2K21. But you're talking about FIFA, you're talking about potentially having a golf game that's coming out. Definitely.
You know, MLB The Show is going to be crazy because it's a Sony game and they have all the resources and all the time to make it. You know, you'll see the blades of grass fly and all that stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing that it's ironic that we kind of talked about Zion Williamson and touched on some things with him, just in passing. Because the release of these platforms may indirectly have a little bit more of an impact on, bringing certain platforms and franchises back or getting people like the NCAA to the table, specifically for NCAA college football, NCAA college basketball, or in one of my favorite games of all time, the 2K series of college basketball. I mean, to me, those are some really, really, those games got me through college, man. I mean, really. It was those franchises are iconic and people are clamoring. They've been begging for decades to have those games coming back. So, I mean, with what's going on and, so many things kind of influencing, the gaming industry now, from a societal and economic standpoint, that might be down the pike. I mean, this is speculation, but it could be down the pike. I mean, especially now with the NCAA taking the first steps of having athletes being able to profit off your likenesses, it's a really pretty exciting time.
I forgot about that. And for the next NCAA game,
yeah,
I mean, ooh, you give everybody that's on the game 10 grand or something just to clear them from.
I mean, and 2K, and like I said, the NCAA still got some work to do because the licensing that normally goes into a college football or a basketball game is more in mass, and it has to involve the schools as well. But the NCAA took the first step of being able to do that. And what could happen is that conferences might go independent of the NCAA in that regard. There might be a Big Ten football game. There might be a Big Ten basketball game or ACC football game.
We over here talking about finances and news.
I mean, for HBCUs. but here's the intriguing thing. For HBCUs, particularly at the FCS and the DC and the Division II level or an NIA level, the constraints there aren't as heavy, particularly for the NAIA. The NCAA doesn't deal with those guys. So, there's a lot of potential there for folks that are creative enough to find those partnerships and licenses. And these platforms may be the driving force behind us when they hit the market and people see what they can do with them. So, it's a real interesting type of thing. When we were watching this, I was thinking, I'd like to be playing some 2K right now. I'd like to be running the triple option against somebody, on a PlayStation 5 platform. So it's you know, those are some pretty intriguing things, you know. I know, I mean, there are already stuff, there are already franchises on both, on the PlayStation 4 platform that people are already looking for in terms of transition, you know. So, I mean, the Marvel stuff that's already on the platform, like I said, call, you know, the infinite number of Call of Duty games that are already on the platform. Yeah, I mean, you name it. Yeah. There's a ton of stuff.
There's a bunch of stuff there. I think that there's a good opportunity with a new console for a lot of stuff. I mean, not just the ability to take advantage of the new money that could be made if people play their cards right. But I mean, there's a lot of things that are branching out, and just the creative aspect. And again, like we said, like there's a lot of games that have very unique protagonists, and I feel like maybe some more representation with these things perhaps will get us back to that point where we're looking to get more people of color in the gaming space, and not just to be playing them, but playing them professionally and creating them and writing for them, you know. So it's not, you have one of these games. And now, again, I never played Dishonored, and I know the people that made Deathloop, where they have two black protagonists, or a protagonist and an antagonist that are black. And I think you get to play with both at some point, because I know the camera switched to the girl, the little natural hair girl that jumped down and was shooting guns and the camera cut off. I think that the movie expands and people take gaming more as a serious thing, because gaming has been beating everybody's butt in terms of entertainment. Like, they outselling, I mean, everything, not everything's been outselling books for a minute, but they have. And then movies outselling it, music outselling it. So video games are the dominant form, dollar for dollar, the dominant form of entertainment in the world right now.
Yeah.
And I think Sony is pandering, or catering, let me not say pandering, they're catering. That would be Joe Biden that panders people. They're catering to a large audience by having so many different types of games that you can play. If you want to play as a cat, if you want to play as a dude in a hazmat suit, if you want to play as a futuristic woman that shoots things with arrows and hacks robot animals, you know, there's something, a little bit something for everybody. I think that maybe will change how we look at games, or even, I mean, obviously it will change how we interact with them. The more powerful and the easier they are to get into. And some of these games, like, I don't know about the bug snaps. I don't know about that. Like, but
yeah, I'm not feeling that. Like,
I know Octodad was funny, you know, but Demon Souls is back. Whoever, you know, you ready to get your butt kicked again? Nah, I can't believe no one, no respect to Agent 47, and said nothing about Agent 3.
Oh man,
I never made it past the second mission of a Hitman game. They're so intense. They're so, like, it's so much. It takes so much energy. I'm not doing it. Also, before we let that slide, all politicians pander, not just Creepy Joe. I just wanted to say that.
No, well, I had to say him. I don't think the other little orange. Well, almost cursed. I don't think the gentleman that's in the White House has made an attempt to effectively pander to anybody besides
him,
whose uncle and father are the same people. I think that's what he panders to.
It's coming. It's coming. And I got to say,
but I'm waiting for him.
He's trying. He's just not very good at it. He's an imbecile.
Well,
he said George Floyd would be very happy with all this that's going on today. Like, he tried to, that's him trying to, you think he cares about George Floyd at all? No. But he was like, let me get a couple black votes.
I'm sure that he murdered by agents of the state, and then having the unemployment up 12%. Over the last year, I'm sure that would make me, I'm like looking down from heaven, like, dang, that's dope. I may have gotten murdered in plain sight of everybody. No one stopped it. But hey, at least my relatives that are still alive can get a minimum wage job that does not cover their cost of living.
Exactly. You got it.
Back to this PS5. But, PlayStation.
Yeah. Like I was saying, before we kind of got off tangent.
I lost half the audience now.
You said tangerines?
Yeah.
So tangerine or you said tangent. I'm sorry. Tangent. I had to fix my. I thought you said tangent.
See, there you go.
Sorry. I thought you were talking about.
Dude, see what you did there.
See? I'll never look at the fruit the same way again, ever.
All right.
But yeah, it's, you know, those games are going to be, important. And there's one other tidbit before we meet, before we get back on the topic of PlayStation 5 that I would be remiss not mentioning. Shout out to the SWAC. Shout out to the Southwestern Athletic Conference. These guys have officially brought esports competitions to HBCUs. In the next couple of years, you're going to be seeing esports, school-based esports competitions for 2K, for 2K series, and for Madden football. These will be school represented, and this caught the attention of our favorite, or of our most recent favorite Aggie and football player, Tariq Cohen. When he caught wind of it, he hopped on Twitter. It's like, yeah, MEAC, I'm down in North Carolina and team. You guys get a team together, I will sponsor it. I will fund it. Okay, so that, you know, that in itself is already pretty dope. But given what's been going on in terms of increased visibility for HBCUs in general, whether it's sports, whether it's technology, whether it's the culture, those are the types of things that could really catapult, you know, an industry like esports into the mainstream for us. And that is, you know, something that, you know, a couple of weeks back, we had part one of our spotlight with Professor John Cash. He's a founding member, one of the founders of Johnson C. Smith's esports degree program. And Texas Southern now has an esports program, though I'm not really clear on the details of whether it's just a team, club team, or what have you. But there's a lot of interest being generated by it. And stuff like this kind of ties into what we're talking about, because new platforms come out and HBCUs could be on the cutting edge of developing, you know, revenue for that. So it's some pretty exciting stuff. It's really exciting stuff. If you're an HBCU fan, supporter, graduate, you know, if you just like talking about HBCUs, you get the idea. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean,
new consoles coming out can help aid the creation of the different esports leagues and in the HBCUs.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe
that's an idea. That's a pitch. But,
I was kind of interested, since this is obviously a PlayStation focused event, I wanted to ask the Xbox player in the room. I mean, technically, I am too. I don't even. But, I wanted to, and we might just have to start wrapping this up. But I wanted to ask you. So, do you plan on buying a PS5? If not, what does Sony have to do to convince you to buy one?
So the answer to the question is yes. And I could just end it there, but I will say I planned on buying a PS4 too. There's always like really interesting first party games or third party exclusives that pique my interest, but every, like, it's like something that's in me. It's like, I hate that controller. I hate it with a passion. The new controller looks cool, but it still has the goofy thumbsticks right next to each other that I'm not a fan of.
Haters gonna hate.
Yeah, I prefer that personally, but
I mean, I don't know, maybe it's because I have huge hands, it just doesn't feel good to me, right? But anyway, I say yes,
get one.
I will probably get one just because there's so many exclusives. Like the last PlayStation I owned was a PS2. Before the Xbox came out, I was a Sony, I love Sony. But you know, Halo came out and that changed everything for me. So, I don't know, man.
Shame.
Assimilated.
Probably, he said assimilated.
Probably, yes. Probably gonna get one.
Shame. It's like back when I used to be in car clubs, and those guys would be like, I never drive a turbo. And I'm like, have you ever driven one before? No. I'm like, well, how do you know you don't like it? Like, no, I just heard of it. Like, if you never driven it, you can't really say you don't like it. It's like PS3 and PS4, like missing those titles in there. But that was like 20 years ago. I was still in high school when PS2 was out.
I don't like the PlayStation controller, and that's the same as it was on the PS2.
I don't like the Xbox controller, but I play with it because I wanted to play Gears of War. I dealt with it.
PlayStation because of the controller. I didn't buy the PlayStation because it's $400 and I only want to play two games on it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so, I mean, you know, like,
who knew Dominique was your controller elitist?
You ask your cheap boss to give you some more money to get you another PlayStation since he's going on golf trips.
I mean, honestly, League of Legends, it's a free to play game. I've probably spent $1,000 on that game. If I like a game, I'll spend the money. It's just, I know with my whole soul that I'm only gonna play two games. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna play less than eight games on the PS5. If it comes out for both, I'm buying it on the Xbox. That's where all my friends play. Like, plain and simple, if I'm console gaming, I'm a console game where my boys are, and they all got Xboxes. Now, I play a lot of single player games. My boys are all shooter fans, so they're always sitting in Apex / PUBG / Call of Duty / whatever goofy military shooter they're in at the time, or Smite. That's what they play, right? But I'll be playing a single player game in the chat room, in the party chat with them, because that's the way we don't really call our male friends. Like, when the last time you called your boys, like, hey man, just checking on you, dog. How you doing? How you kids doing? We don't really do that. But when you get in the party, you know, you're like, hey man, what's up with the kids? Man, you just bring it up casually in conversation and doesn't make you, you feel away.
Well, though, I mean,
that's kind of how I am, honestly. Yeah. I mean, I'm a PC gamer.
Yeah, so. I don't like.
I'm going to play almost every multi-platform. I'm going to play on PC.
Yeah, because PC is like, that would be the best way to play a game. You know, especially if you're playing a shooter game. You know, it's hard to beat the accuracy. Even though they're like, oh, you can get a keyboard and plug it up to your PlayStation. I'm like, I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah. And that's why, I mean, well, that kind of goes back to, you know, a little portion of the reveal that we saw with the professional level controllers. Precision controller is going to make a really big difference for folks that like shooters. And like Roberto said, there used to be a really wide gap when it came to playing a first person shooter on a PC as opposed to playing it on a console. I mean, most folks that transition from a console to a PC and play, like I said, Call of Duty or Apex Legends or any number of shooters that are out there, they see that firsthand. And most of the time they're getting smoked, you know, or whacked or whatever, you know, killing, adjective that you want to apply to it. But, but you know, the difference the
children
in terms
say
of...
pwned.
Right.
Is that still a thing now?
Can we say that?
Yeah, zit.
No, I mean, like, I definitely hear that, and I again as a big Gears of War fan, and I had a 360, and I think really Crackdown, Gears, and Halo was the only thing I played it for. And would I buy an Xbox to play three or four games? Probably, if they were really good ones, and I had got some use out of it. I mean, having 12-year-old children in Arkansas call me the N-word while I play video games isn't really my cup of tea. Yeah. So, like, I would much like, I'm playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey right now. I could play that and not interact with the rest of the world, but I mean, you can. I don't like people to that degree, but I don't like playing with strangers, but I will if I have to. You know, I played Anthem a couple times with some randoms. It's not bad. Call of Duty isn't bad. Grand Theft Auto is terrible. With any random group of people, no matter what console you're on, they're horrendous human beings. But you know, like, it's the same thing. Like, if Xbox can convince me that I need to play, I mean, because again, I was like, man, I need to play Gears. I played the other ones. I should probably play 4. Are they on 5 by now? I think they're on 5. I stopped playing at 3.
Yeah, they're on 5.
No, yeah, and I want to play those like 4 or 5. Do I buy just, them right now? Yeah. So that's the thing is, do you come up with something that's good enough to draw somebody in? And I guess the question for, I mean, like, again, I've always had both, but I am, if I had to pick one, if I had to pick a favorite child, it would always be the PlayStation, because they had games that fit the games I like to play.
Let's see. And that, like, that's the thing. I agree with you in that aspect. I mean, a lot of my favorite games of this generation were PlayStation games. I had a PS4. I had a PS4 Pro. So, like, and I played all of them. God of War, Spider-Man, Horizon Zero Dawn. And, like, those are worth buying the console for. So, I
can't think of a game better than those three games.
Yeah, those three alone. Last of Us 2 about to come out?
Yeah. We're not even... Yeah, Last of Us 2 comes out next Friday.
It's hard to compare games like that in different genres and all that, but I mean, the Gears series and the Halo series are all legendary series with legendary franchises. So, you know, there are reasons to buy both systems. And me being a fanboy, it's hard for me to act like I'm saying that without bias. But there's just because there's really amazing games on the PlayStation. I mean, I don't know if you guys played Crackdown 3. I mean, it was
Crackdown 3. Really,
one and 2. And I would absolutely buy it to play 3. And like I said, Crackdown, Gears. Well, yeah, I played 1 and I loved it. I played 2 and I could have gone without playing that. But I just love the premise of the game. So Gears, Halo, Crackdown, and I think Braid was there, but then it was on PSN, so I didn't really need it. I mean, I was playing Castlevania Symphony of the Night on my Xbox 360 after a while because I ran out of stuff to play. Because I was like, okay, so I've played, you can have, like, some of the, like, the, I can't think of the name of the game. It was based on some books, and there was a guy, and he had a flashlight, and it, like, I got bored playing
Alan Wake?
Alan Wake, yes. No, Alan. No.
Talking about the flashlight, yes. Max Payne?
It sounded like Alan Wake.
Yeah, I think that might have been it. I think it's Alan Wake.
What's the one? Flashlight, Max Payne. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
I'd have to look it up because it was like you have to like put together clues and you're like in a town and the town's kind of abandoned and so it was Alan Wake. And everybody's like, this is such a good game, such a good game, and I was like, okay, it's like imagine if everybody hyped up Game of Thrones and you've never seen it ever in your life. You were just like, I'm just gonna skip and watch season 8. That's what it felt like to me, because I was like, this is the game that
don't do it.
This game is good, but it's not. They were like, I would sell my mother to play this game twice. And I was like, oh, really? I got to play it. But at the same time, I just finished playing Uncharted 3. And then I started playing Alan Wake. So that was probably my fault for going backwards and playing that game in time, which is hard to do because, like, a game like Cuphead, you could pick up and play anytime. But if I wanted to tell my friends, like, I had a friend recently just started playing the Uncharted series. And he was like, I thought you said it was, like, super graphically impressive, and I was like, well, it was in 2012 or something. Like, you're playing it like 8 years late, dude. Like, by now, it's Uncharted 1 does not look as good as whatever free game is out right now, like whatever Apex or I can't even think of the place, the PSN game that I was playing for a little bit, but anyway, graphics and all that stuff notwithstanding. And we get into that debate where, like, well, which one has the more horsepower? I don't care. Yeah, the PlayStation looks like...
They still haven't maxed out the Xbox One. They still haven't maxed out the Xbox One X.
Yeah.
So, whatever the horsepower ability is, they won't get there till we've had a thing for 4 or 5 years. Yeah. And the winner's already been declared.
Okay, but you know that M. Night Shyamalan's Avatar was in 4K. Remastered, right? So it doesn't matter how good it looks. If it's crap, it's still crap. Well, so, like, you have to make sure it's there before you tell me, like, oh, this has impressive graphics, because, like, Ratchet & Clank is something I would play. And obviously, it's, like, cartoony as hell, but, I mean, I'd still play it. Solar Ash, Godfall, and all these other weird games that they showed I was like, oh, that looks cool, like style wise. And people are like in the chat, like, well, that doesn't like look like next gen graphics. And I'm like, well, what else do you want at this point? Like, you're not going to have a huge graphical leap. It's more going to be about rendering and ray tracing and smoke and shadows and, you know, like aliasing and all that other crap that like you won't really notice until you're actually playing the game. The game's going to feel different.
Right.
And like, I mean, even playing Uncharted 2 for the first time, they're like, there's no load screens. And you're like, BS. And you're playing it and you're like, wow, this didn't really load. It's like that small tick. And then you start going into a new area. Like, that makes a difference, Anthem. When there's like no
shame
to play a game.
Oh,
I mean, yeah, I just got a PS4 Pro.
That just, that just put me in a bad mood.
Yeah.
Not to say like I love the specs and I love all the graphical and the horsepower talk and all that stuff, but again, Twisted Metal 2 is one of my favorite games. I could play that right now and it looks like crap. It looks like something that my son drew when he was sleepy. And my son's a good artist, so like it didn't look as good as what he could make right now, awake and alive. But like, it was terrible, but it is fun to play. There's so many, like, how long did you play Snake before you realized that it was like, well, this game isn't that great because there's, you know, there's no shadow, there's detail. Like, what is this running in, like 4 frames a second? This is terrible. Like, I want all that fidelity and I want all that graphical hype, but if that's all you have. Because again, let's not forget that Heavenly Sword was a tech demo thing that they made for PlayStation and then turned it into this real brilliant, beautiful story. But it was only a couple of minutes long. The Order 1886 is still the best looking game I've ever played. And that game was like maybe 3 or 4 hours long. And they were just like, well, it was pretty. We made it. And I'm like, well, where's the substance? What about the rest of it? It was a great, like, what did you do? And they're like, well,
The Witcher 2.
You bought it.
The Witcher 2 is the best looking game I've ever played.
Yeah. Well, I think.
Yeah.
The Witcher
2. Really?
Yeah.
At
3.
I still don't think
it looks. Witcher 3 but... came out at a time. Witcher 3 came out at a time where all games look great, right? But for its time, Witcher 2.
All games matter.
Witcher 2, like. The like, Order 8. Like Crysis.
Launch title.
Told you, my answer, like. 8 years ago would have been Crysis, right? Because then that was that game was so powerful that that was the benchmark for every what the, is good looking. Is it Crysis good looking? Like Crytek, like the engine and all that. Like, it was a very powerful situation. But graphics only matter.
But again,
graphics matter in adventure games. They don't really matter that much.
Yeah,
it relates to fun.
Yeah. Well, I know in the Order, you can look at a letter from across the table and see that it's like actually, and you pick it up and then you're like, oh, this was the handwriting that I saw across the room. If somebody dropped some ammo for something across the room, you could look and be like, there's 2 or 3 shotgun shells on the floor. And you walk over there and it's legit 2 or 3 shotgun shells on the floor.
Yeah.
Again, the game was only 4 hours long and it was a launch title and it had werewolves and you had Nikola Tesla making you weapons and they did nothing with it. They did nothing with it. You know, it reminds me of how they made this awesome character in Finn. And then they were like, we're not actually going to use him, though. Yeah. He's force sensitive. We're not. He gets to use a lightsaber that one time and gets his spine all messed up. And then we're going to sit him in the corner for a little bit. Like, that's what that
he was a diversity hire.
He was. I mean, but
this dude
he's a hero.
Diversity
You know.
Hey, fellas, there's one other thing about this presentation that wasn't mentioned. And this kind of goes to some of the functionality of past editions of PlayStations, particularly from PlayStation 3 on up. And besides gaming, the PlayStation has doubled as multimedia and streaming platforms for entertainment. So we got a little bit of a glimpse of that during the presentation in terms of what you know, what kind of picture quality and audio quality some of these games could be rendered in. Or, you know, we're talking about, you know, 4K and upscaling to UHD, you know, for the main platform. But they kind of left that open-ended as well, because what PlayStation kind of getting out of the multimedia streaming business on their own. There's a really big demographic of console owners that are wondering, wow, okay, is Sony going to compensate for that by partnering with third-party entities? You know, is their operating system going to compensate for that by being able to, you being able to download apps, stuff like that, you know, to be able to watch Netflix or to be able to do this or to be able to do a multitude of things? Because you still have a lot of people that are gamers that still want that one centralized solution for, you know, all of their media needs besides gaming. So that's one thing that PlayStation didn't really touch on too much during the presentation. And it's something that I think we'll see a lot more of the closer.
I'm thinking they didn't want to be like Microsoft in 2013 when the Xbox One came out.
Right.
Because that's all they talked about for like 30 minutes. It was like, you can watch Xbox on your, I mean, you can watch TV on Xbox and you can say, hey, Xbox, turn to Skype and all that kind of stuff. People didn't care about it. I mean, those are cool features, and I use them actually. They're all
cool features, yeah. And I do.
But like, them and that's not what you should come out with. You're announcing a game console. Like,
yeah. Oh, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Like, I want to hear about the game.
A powerful gaming console that can also be, you know, be a Skype machine, that can also do this, but it plays games first and all the other stuff second. But they focus on the other stuff first. That's why it's called the Xbox One, because, you know, it's the one console that can do everything. So I think that's why they did that. And you can do a lot with the PS4, actually, if you didn't. Yeah. You used to be able to install Linux on him or whatnot. Right. But go ahead and wrap this up, because it's like 9 o'clock my time. But
Your wife was right.
Right. As usual, right? The women are always right. But real quick.
If you're hearing this, honey.
Tender bear.
But so I guess a 30-second hot take from everyone. Like, what do you think is going to happen with this next-gen console generation? Well, yeah, next-gen console season or whatever. So, Herb, what's your hot take?
Extreme hot take? I think, you know, the audiences that gravitate to next-gen consoles are hardcore. They're always going to be there. The pricing is going to determine whether both Xbox or PlayStation 5 are going to start drawing in casual gamers or gamers that wouldn't ordinarily spend, you know, that type of grip on a console, particularly with, you know, with advent of other gaming options and alternatives out there that don't require that kind of overhead. So that's something to really pay attention to. That's the hot take. I think you'll know if either Xbox or if either Microsoft or Sony are going to make inroads in that fashion this year. Because if people look at the PlayStation 5 or the Xbox, you know, or the new Xbox and say, wow, okay, maybe I want to invest money into that. Mm-hmm. Then you'll see, then you can safely say that you'll see a dent into it. Otherwise, you know, hardcore gamers are hardcore gamers. And they're going to line up just like they do every year to get the newest console.
Basically. I'll let Dominique go last, since I like when Dominique does his thing. So, all right, Mr. Joseph.
Miles.
Extreme hot take. Extreme hot. First of all, shout out to Miles Morales.
Yep.
First, before I start my thing, I think the hot take of all hot takes would be that Sony and Microsoft finally realized that there's more money to be made together than apart, and they make another tier of online gaming stuff or Xbox Live or PSN Gold or PSN Plus and Xbox Premium Platinum and maybe PSN Double Plus or whatever they'll call it, where you can actually play. Like, if I wanted to play Call of Duty with Dominique I would be able to do it on my PlayStation to his Xbox. And or like if Herb and you and I and we all wanted to play, like, let's say Dave's gonna play on his PC and I'm gonna play on my PlayStation, and you know, everybody will be able to play together. Now, of course, I know the Call of Duty fans hate that because they hate when PC gamers get to play because of the, you know, but we all know why.
So, you know, real quick, so you can already do that now. So yeah,
it's cross-platform play.
It's not even really that big of a deal.
Yeah, it is.
So, and PC people play together. All like you, the Call of Duty will even show you who's on mouse and keyboard and who's on a controller, and there's all mixed parties all the time, and there's not really a difference. I don't know. I haven't really seen that much of a
gunfight. The gunfight. You can do that now. Team games. Yeah, like right now, if we were to be in a chat room together, and I would see your Xbox avatar, and PlayStation would create some kind of weird thing that would allow you to do the same thing or have some kind of physical representation of yourself, you know, and we could actually play a game and be in the same chat room and do all that stuff that normally it's like, okay, well, Call of Duty will let you be in the same game or let you play crossplay. But once we switch and say, hey, do you want to play Anthem 2 now that they fixed everything that they broke in the first place because they're stupid? Now, do you want to do that? Like, you can switch between games and never have to break that connection. Now, that would be different to me rather than just like, well, I have to, because Streets of Rage isn't one of those things that I would think, well, let me play, but my brother got it on Xbox. And like, now I can't play with him. And whereas you're thinking like, well, it's all because of, it's not the game developer, it's the game studio, or it's not the game console, or if we can do away with that altogether, then that would eliminate, you know, some people's, you know, cause to like, well, I want to play Uncharted, but if I want to play Call of Duty, all my friends play on Xbox and I'd have to play it here, or I know I'm gonna have to play this one thing. That would eliminate some of that thing, but it also would eliminate some of that brand loyalty. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. But I think that this console, or I think maybe Xbox takes an early lead and PlayStation catches up once they finally unveil God of War with teenage Atreus and old man Kratos and, you know, whatever new adventure they go on.
All right. Mr. Dominique, go ahead and close us out.
First, hoping you said 30 seconds that you knew that those two were going to do 30 seconds. Because they don't know what 30 seconds
Mine was like 31.
They got CP seconds. Those were CP seconds. My extreme is the exact opposite of Roberto's, but that's because I'm a fanboy. But I honestly do believe that this time the differences between the two are minuscule. And the thing that'll make or break it will be first party titles, and hopefully, I know Microsoft has more ability to put my, like, it's basically what I'm saying, that they got a bigger bank account. So hopefully they use that to the right. Are you got your eyebrow raised? Would you like to? Bill Gates could buy Sony.
I'm just saying they haven't yet. But I mean, like, I'm just saying, when have they?
So yeah. Xbox is a minuscule portion of Microsoft's income. In fact, I'm pretty sure they're operating at a loss. It's not a thing. That they care about that much, right? So my point is, anyway, I think Microsoft's going to win this next generation, but I've thought that every generation, and I really do think that they do win as far as they win for me, right? It doesn't matter if they win for everybody else. I like their system more than I like the other system. I like the integration into my home theater. I like the fact that all my friends have it and that's where they play. So, that being said,
I got a Sony home theater.
I got an LG. I'm just saying, I'm talking about the way that it, you can hook your cable up through it and it can be your cable box kind of thing. But, you know, everybody go for it this week. There's a lot of really good resources for you guys to educate yourself on about some real life stuff, not digital stuff. Black Lives Matter, the BLM website, you know, just Google it. Yeah, for sure. the
black friends, but cool stuff.
There's black eight reforms DeRay McKesson, who was one of the original. He's been in the game ever since Ferguson. He's been heavy, but there's eight reforms for police departments that have been proven, scientifically proven, with facts and not opinions, to reduce police violence against people, against citizens. Because we got to stop just saying they're killing black people. They're just killing people. So maybe if we stop just saying they're killing black people, maybe white people will care too, because they're killing them too. They shoot rubber bullets at folks' faces. These folks are bullies, and we got to do something about it. The power is ours, but we keep acting like we don't know we have it. And so we have to do the things that we can do to take the power back from the people that we've handed the power oh so nicely over to. And these are some of the things you can do. If you got $10, donate $10 to a progressive DA in one of the states that are closest to you that actually has a chance to win. There's a website, on Joe Biden's website, he actually calls out the 10 progressive DAs that are running. There's one in St. Louis, there's one in Maryland, there's one in LA County. DAs are very important, blah, blah, blah. It's not a political podcast. I'm not going to get down too deep into it, but educate yourself. Do register to vote. Go to votesaveamerica.com. There's different ways to find out if you're registered. Also, different ways to find out where your polling location is in, you know, different candidate platforms. I will say they are a left-leaning platform, but it's not a political. It's just everybody should vote. I don't care who you're voting for. I do care who you're voting for. I'm just not supposed to say that. If you're going to vote red, stay home. So, that being said, every time you guys go to bed, you wake up one day closer to Herb and David's boss not being y'all president. This is the Black Techies, y'all. We love y'all.
All right. And on that note, hail Wakanda.
Wakanda forever.
Hail Wakanda.